I do love it, Bob. I do love it, Paul. I started the show on Friday saying we didn't make enough of Paul Skeen's first game. We didn't make enough of his first game as a town, at me. I'm not saying you. I'll just say me. We didn't make enough of that. I started the show Friday saying that debut by Paul Skeens here was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. The dude unleashed 9 100-mile-an-hour pitches in the first inning. I don't care what happened after that. It's like a guy in his first NBA game taking the opening tap and going in and doing a somersault dunk. Does it matter what happened after that? I've never seen that before. And now his second start has happened. And now Jared Jones has happened. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to start with a rant, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Bob, do you mind?
No. I like these Starkey rants, especially at 10 a.m. It gets you going.
Here's my rant, and I'm dead serious about this. I don't care that they're 22 and 26. The time is now for the Pirates. You don't know when you'll ever have this again, which is to say Skeens, Jones, Keller, but especially Skeens, and then Jones, and then Keller, healthy and at the tops of their games. Go ask the people in Chicago how often it happened with Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood. It happened for 1 year, one magical season that Steve Bartman ruined, but 1 year. Right now, not next year, not the year after, not next week or the week after or the month after, not 2027. Right now, you have a staff that nobody wants to see in a playoff series, and you can go ahead and laugh. They can win playoff series with these guys, but they need to add, and they need to add right now. They need to treat this year at 22 and 26. I just saw some dude on a baseball podcast. Pirates, definitely sellers. They definitely better not be sellers. They better be buyers. We saw Arias go. I'm going to read you guys a bunch of names of people coming up in the show today who are on the trade block, who could potentially be traded, whether it's a veteran, like professional hitter, like a Justin Turner or a young up and coming guy. There's tons of them out there. My point is right now at 22 and 26, the Pirates are a team that could beat people in the playoffs because they have a special, special, rare top of the rotation led by a guy who, without even hesitation, I say, is one of the best young pitching talents in the history of the game in Paul Skeens. Hi, Paul.
Hello. How are you doing? Well, we've been saying that. In fact, I wrote, wasn't that the column I wrote last week?
Yeah.
The exact column that you just said is the exact column I wrote, that they need to be willing to trade and part ways with a few of these young pitchers they got in the minors. They've got a glut of them. You can't use them all. They can't all come up and be, you know what I mean? So you might as well use them now to go get players. And if you could swing a deal like the one the Padres did and get a guy for, even if it's just for, you know, I think that guy, I think he signed through 2025. So you get a year and a half of a young, you know, a hitter that's coming into there, actually not coming into, he's actually won two batting titles in a row. But you've got you go get a couple of guys like that. Absolutely. I mean, with this pitching staff, they don't even have to be that much better offensively.
That's
just
the thing.
Score four runs, three, four, five runs every night. They're going to have a shot to win.
Totally agree, and that's why we've been talking about this offense all year. I thought the pitching was in good spot. I didn't know how good it could be, but now with especially Keller, I think settling into the third role, and Bailey Falter, for as much crap as he took after one start. I mean, people need to remember it is a long season. He's really gotten it together. How many games have they lost by one run? No, you know, 1-0, 3-2, 2-1. They got to score runs. It's as simple as that. And they do have I'll tell you what, they have a surplus in Joe and Paul is infield talent, prospects who can help other teams who may need that down the road. Take a page out of what Tampa did and just say, we're going to trade, for example, Tremaine Johnson, sorry, he's going. He's one of our top prospects. We're going to trade him, however. We're going to get something to help us right now because I agree. This division is very winnable. Milwaukee is just an average team. I think Chicago is a team that the Pirates just took 3 of 4. They're not all that great, and neither is Cincinnati or St. Louis. So if you're going to strike, now would be the time to do it and give up people in your organization who you covet, yet others may covet as well.
They have what everybody wants, too, in addition to, you know, aside from what you said, they have infield prospects. They have what everybody wants, which is pitching, young pitching. So deal some of that. that's not even on your major league roster yet. You mentioned Tampa. How would you like this guy, Brandon Lau, on the trading block?
Yes.
Saw it in four different places today. Proven hitter, left-handed hitter, sometimes big time hitter in his recent career. He's got club options for 25 and 26. He's off to a slow start. I get it, but he's a lefty bat with power. How about a Rosarena? How about that name?
Yeah, he can
from
help.
Tampa on the block.
He always seems to be very good in the postseason too, Randy Arozarena.
He's off to a horrendous start.
But in the postseason,
right,
look at his numbers.
Yeah, and he also averages about 20 homers, 80 RBIs. He's a high 700s OPS guy. People have talked about Vladimir Guerrero. Can you imagine that? If he was now he's not
now, how much is he
officially
worth?
On the block. A lot.
Because that'll come into play with him.
I know. Well, set that aside for a moment. Let's just talk some names. Tommy Pham from the White Sox, big-time professional bat, absolutely on the block. Taylor Ward, outfielder, third baseman, 275 with 10 home runs out in California with the Angels. Brian De La Cruz, 9 home runs, 756 OPS. Here's another guy. Listen to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan McMahon out in Colorado. Could play first base for you.
Third base, too, if you get an injury.
Yeah, having a good year. Hits at least 20 home runs every year. Club-friendly deal through 2027. My fear with the Alex Bregman, if you want a one-year guy, you know, bring in Marian Hossa. I know he's off to a bad start, but I love the way that really Penguins ownership fast-tracked their rebuilding program by saying, we're going to try to win now, not next year. So here comes Marian Hossa. We just dealt first-round picks. For a first-round prospect that we already drafted, we want to win now, and that sends shockwaves through the locker room, and that's the way it should be. Alex Bregman, Luis Robert Jr. with the White Sox, 38 home runs last year, signed through 2027, on the block. All these guys, bring in a couple people. I've seen enough of Jack Sawinski. I know he had a homer yesterday. I've seen enough of Rowdy Tellez, for God's sakes. You have an empty suit in center field, an empty batting position, although I like Michael A. Taylor. Keep him. But that's a luxury to have someone who cannot hit in center field. Keep Brian Hayes as a disappointment. Where else? All over. But certainly, Tellez and Sawinski. Bring in some bats.
And just imagine
they're
Henry,
out there.
Just imagine if Henry Davis somehow gets
he hit a couple
out.
Homers the other night.
And just imagine if he could come up and be the bat, too, within. You know, they need that. They need him to be Henry Davis. They drafted 1-1. If that happens, things can change. But, you know, they have a lot of games left internally against these teams in this division. That's going to be a big thing, and they're not all that difficult, I think. And, you know, here's the thing, if you talk about fast-tracking, the thing that I like about this potential team, they're only, I think, a game and a half out or 2.5 games out of a wild card. I'm looking way ahead. But just imagine if they do get a one-game situation or whatever the case may be, and Skeens is your pitcher. Then you get to a series.
Yes, that's what I'm
with
saying.
With this pitching staff, Paul, you have a best of five.
Right.
You're going to send out Jones, Skeens, and Keller and whatever. You have a chance to win a lot of series just with a pitching staff that keeps it close.
Yeah. No, I think that's the key, is that you have these two guys at the top of your rotation. In a 7-game series, especially where you can use them both twice, and then you have Keller or somebody else that can pitch. I mean, again, it all comes down to are you interested in winning? And if you are, this is a window that you need to take advantage of. Like Joe said, I think the biggest thing is going out and finding the right deals for some of these guys. And here's one of the things the Pirates have been very reluctant to do, is trading away some of your prospects. And I know that people will say, well, it blew up when they traded for Chris Archer. Well, again, they traded for the wrong guy, period. What they did was correct. The idea was correct.
Yes.
And you can't worry about what guys do when they leave here. It's what are the guys you're bringing here going to do? That's the question.
And the other,
I have no problem with giving up prospects.
No.
Even if it's Tamar Johnson, I don't care because he's still a few years away. They have infielders. If it's Peguero, if it's even, he's playing well, but Nick Gonzalez, if someone wanted him, if I can get what I wanted bat-wise back, I'd do it. I would be creative in how I use my prospects right now. They're not all going to play here, and so why not?
Well, that's another question is, what are we doing here with for instance, Alika Williams? He's hitting 105 in May. 105?
Right.
You or I could hit 105. He can't hit. Why is he here?
The good news is that Nick Gonzalez is starting to hit.
He is. But they also have Jiwon Bae, who has over 1,000 OPS at Indy.
Right.
And Peguero, who I thought was going to be on this team at the beginning of the year. I'm very perplexed why he isn't here. Some very strange things happening. But I guess my overall point is you just don't know how long it's going to last. You don't when you have two young power pitchers
like this.
You know, they were showing Skeens sometimes when he was just dominating the Cubs the other day. You would see just his arm and the velocity and the torque and everything else. And I kept wondering, oh, my God, how long can any human being throw like this? And the history of the majors tells me it's a crapshoot. You know, I mentioned the Cubs with Pryor and Kerry Wood. It lasted for 1 year.
1-2 punch. Really? And I think of Doc Gooden back in the day. And as much as people want to compare Skeens to Strasburg, I look more of the Gooden. Remember how Gooden was an event?
Yeah.
Every time he went out, no matter who you were, you say, oh, my God, you're going to see this kid. The nice thing about the Pirates is he's 21. Jones is 22. My goodness, if you ever had a situation for a five-year run where you can do it without totally spending a whole bunch on these guys, eventually you got to, and will they is another question.
But even that, see, that's what I'm afraid the Pirates are thinking. Like, oh, well, this is just the beginning of 4 or 5 years. I don't know, man. It's the
but you have to supplement it. It could be a
it's
magical.
It's the beginning of this week, and I know that this week you got both these guys healthy and at the tops of their games, and nobody else has that. Nobody has that right now.
Right.
Today.
You're right. Well, again, you got those top two guys. If you have those two guys at the top of your rotation, you have a chance.
With Keller. The way
you know what I mean?
And again, Falter. You talk about a guy who's really nobody's going
to.
And
I mean,
know,
to me,
I can't include Falter in that conversation.
But as a fourth,
he's been good.
But I'm talking
about your top three can go out and win you a playoff.
Keller is more comfortable being the guy who doesn't have the pressure of being an ace.
Yes. You have Keller, but the other part of it is if you need to use a fourth starter, to Bob's point, you have Perez or Falter. You got two guys that are. One thing I'll say too is, it's time. If you think about it. It's time to bring Jiwon Bae up. It's time to take Alika Williams, send him down, bring up Peguero. Because why do you have Alika Williams? You want to bring up Peguero, and it's time to DFA Rowdy Tellez and bring up Jake Lamb. I'm not saying those three things are going to change your offense, but you got to at least try. And my thing is, if you do that for 2 or 3 weeks, you kind of have an idea whether or not they're actually going to help your offense. And if they don't, then you know, okay, we need to go out and get players.
Sure.
We need to go make
some
trades.
I mean, to me.
You've got some internal options to at least look at before you.
It's mind-boggling why they haven't been. What exactly are we doing with Alika Williams? I don't understand.
And
he's
Rowdy
never
Tellez.
Hit. Yeah, him, and, yes.
And,
of course.
And, yes.
What is happening? What are they doing?
Michael A. Taylor is a nice piece to have if you have other hitters and you don't have to worry about his bat.
Right.
If you have to worry about his bat, then he becomes a liability.
But it's an empty spot in your order.
The thing I would say about him,
he can't hit.
The thing I would say about him and Triolo is both of those guys can be defensive replacements later in games, or you know what I mean.
Yeah, Michael A. Taylor is going to play. He's a great center fielder.
They bring at least that to the table. What does Rowdy Tellez bring to the table? What does Alika Williams
bring? $3.5 million.
What does Jack Sawinski bring to the table?
Well, he might hit a home run every so often, like he did.
That's a replaceable position. He hit 163 last month. He's hitting 182 this month. You hope he gets hot, okay? But you also know he's going to get cold again,
right?
And how long can you live with this? Because when he's cold, he kills your team.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
He does.
Because you put him somewhere in the middle of the order, and it's weeks at a time of zero production. And how long do you go with that? How long? Yeah.
But again, they could be right now, and I know could, if, buts, all this stuff. But with all these one-run losses, I think they're second in the majors with losing games by one run. If they just changed that just by a couple of runs, they could have been, where are they now, 6 out, 7 out, whatever.
Imagine the feeling of having a veteran professional hitter.
Yeah.
And imagine Alex Bregman.
Somebody
of a sudden,
to stabilize
he's a
an order, much like
even him or Justin Turner.
What
you know?
Skeens and Jones do to the top of the rotation, taking off pressure of other pitchers. That's the same concept with batting.
Right.
If you get a stud in the middle of there, he does take a lot of the pressure off these other guys who may just relax and you know settle into a good offensive rhythm.
There's so many guys who could help this team that everybody's talking about trading. Taylor Ward, outfielder, third base, 275, 10 home runs for the Angels. He's on the trade block. What are you waiting for?
Right.
I mentioned Brandon Lau. Here's another guy out in Oakland where they're going to trade everybody. Brent Rooker, outfielder, DH, 30 home runs last year, 817 OPS. This year, 11 homers, 32 RBIs, 935 OPS.
Yeah. So you gotta bring go to some those people teams in. That need help. And there are a lot of them that need help desperately in their organization.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing. Most of the teams that are sellers are just going to want prospects.
Yeah, especially pitching. Especially pitching.
And here's the thing. If you get the right deal, even if you have to deal a guy like Bubba Chandler, which I know that they, you know, he's the latest guy that they don't want to. But you got three or four of those guys down there. Whoever, you know what I mean?
And you got the ninth pick again.
Right.
Enough. If you can't replenish from where you've been drafting and where you're right. still drafting, then forget about the whole thing anyway. Win now.
Right. There's no question. They need to go out and make their lineup better, because if you look at their lineup, if you look at their pitching, and every single night they've gotten this kind of pitching, if they just score a few runs, they can win.
How about the Skeen start the other day? I came home from the show on Friday. Sat down, Bob, with some lime-flavored tortilla chips and a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon in it. Sat in my man cave and watched it all unfold. Mm. It was like a movie. It's one of the greatest performances I've seen in Pittsburgh sports history.
I was so into it. I was down in Turks and Caicos, sitting at a bar by a beach, had my phone on, and there were other people around me who are not necessarily Pirate fans, but they kept watching, and we were asking about this guy. I was telling them all about him. next thing you know, one of them says, oh, good, he'll be a Yankee in 5 years. Just that thought is out there among people who watch baseball.
Of course.
You know, and that's the reality of being in Pittsburgh. Now, can they change that? I don't know. I don't even worry about that. I worry about the next several years, what they can do with him. So
I worry about the next several days.
People were watching about it, you know?
Yeah, of course. My kid now wants to go back to date. She's heard of this guy. Now people want to go to the game. Like, I'm curious to see, Paul, what this game Thursday is going to look like. Where were you Friday? Were you watching or coaching?
Friday I was coaching, but I was watching it unfold on my phone.
Seven straight batters to open the game?
It was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it when I was like, this guy... I mean, here's my thing. If he gives you 5 years of what we just saw, okay, fine. Trade him to the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? First of all, you should get a really good haul back, but I'll take 5 years of watching that or 6 years of watching that. Why are we worried about what happens 5 or 6 years from now?
Yeah.
That, to me, is always the biggest problem I have with the Pirates, discussions about the Pirates. People worried about down the road.
They're two games out of the wild card.
We can sit here and also talk about the Steelers and how it hasn't worked and they haven't, you know, won a playoff game in 7 years, but you know what the Steelers and the Penguins do that the Pirates don't do?
They strike.
They try and win now. You can complain about whatever, you know, say they missed on this guy or missed on that guy or whatever, but guess what? A lot of organizations are like, well, we drafted Kenny Pickett. We have him here. Let's groom him and we'll live with the growing pains. Steelers basically said, no. He ain't good enough. So we're going to go out and find a guy who can be a stopgap and help us win right now, this year, and then we'll worry about next year and next year.
Yeah, Erik Karlsson. Turned out, they made that move.
Exactly. And how many moves like that have the Penguins made where they basically have said, you know, we're going to every
Pirates
single year.
The
Penguins.
Oh, the Penguins, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Every year they seem to do that.
Rutherford here, they went after it every time they could at the expense of the future.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. My point is, their thing is, fans want to see us win now. You know? So all these idiotic discussions that people have about, well, you can't trade Bubba Chandler and Joe Schmo because what's going to happen in 2029? Who cares? Worry about now. And then the other part of that is, people that are saying, well, I can't get that excited about Skeens because 6 years from now he'll be a Yankee. Okay, so for 5 or 6 years, you're going to be angry about it? You're not going to enjoy him going to the mound every month? What are we talking about here? Like, it's the only team I can think of where the discussions are far more about 2031 than they are about right
now. Well, people have been beaten down, but right. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. This guy's pitching Thursday. That's all I know.
Right.
And they have a great chance to win that and win Jones and Keller. And who knows, Falter, too, has been good. But the point is, this dude is pitching Thursday. And I think that there's never been a second start in the majors that was like his. I think I read that somewhere. 11 strikeouts in six innings.
And 100 pitches.
No hits.
I was a little surprised they let it go that far, but when he was
so
going.
So was I.
But I was not at all displeased with the fact that a lot of people said, let him go for a no-hitter. It's 100 pitches. You can't. Okay, if it's maybe a 1-0 game, but it was 8-0. I didn't think it was
I hear that. But I am struck, too, by how we've all been now completely conditioned.
If it was just
100 pitches, of course
they
take
him
out.
But, I mean, three more innings, how many more pitches would you have done? If you looked at his first three, it would have been another 35
pitches. I was good with it. But a little part of me wonders if I, too, have just been beaten down.
Well, we all have.
Brainwashed. But I was okay. It was as dominant a performance as I've ever seen from a Pirate pitcher, period. End of story. And I watched John Candelaria in the no-hitter in 76. We've seen other great, great performances. What if he does throw now? I mean, he obviously would have finished, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe thrown a no-hitter. If that idiot umpire had called a good strike zone, he would have had a perfect game at that point.
That's another emerging story. It's just been gaining traction, how bad these umpires are around the league.